Welcome to another edition of Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Psalm 113 through 115 today. If you have a Bible, open it up to Psalm 113. We begin in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Notice it says, praise, O servants of the Lord. No one can really praise God unless they are a servant of God. If a person isn't living for God, any attempt to praise him is going to be stale and lifeless. And it's also going to be a waste of time, because God won't receive it. Joy comes from living for God. Joy comes from not having any unconfessed sins in your life. And praise to God under those circumstances is going to be a joyful experience, something to look forward to, something that a Christian loves to do. Verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. There is never a time when God shouldn't be praised. Never. The Bible says, let his name be praised now and forever. You ask, well, what about during terrible times? What about when bad things are happening? What about when I'm sad? What about when I am disappointed? What about then? Well, always remember that God is good even when times are not good. His absolute holiness makes him worthy of praise always, regardless of how we may feel. Our feelings have nothing in the world to do with God's worthiness. God is worthy of praise through good times and bad. He is worthy because of who he is and what he is like. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Now that has to do with time, from morning till evening, and space, from east until west. God should be praised everywhere in this world, from the east to the west, wherever we may be, in whatever situation we find ourselves, we should praise God. Perhaps our current situation doesn't allow us to do what we would like to do. Be that as it may, we can still do what we should do. And what we should do is praise God because he deserves it. He always deserves it. And he will get it. Jesus will get it. The Bible says that someday every knee will bow before Jesus. Everyone and every part of the world will give him the homage that he deserves. Now, for some, it will be the one and only time they do it before they are cast into hell. But they will do it. Muhammad will bow his knee before Jesus. All the Muslims will bow their knees before Jesus. All the Hindus will bow their knees before Jesus. All the atheists will bow their knees before Jesus. They will publicly declare that he is Lord, the Lord they rejected to their own eternal destruction, but he is Lord. 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. God has authority over all people and all nations everywhere. I am for a strong military because the Bible says that a strong man keeps his house. But I will tell you this, the most powerful weapon America has against nations who do not like us isn't a strong military. It is prayer to God. If every person in America repented and prayed to God, then our enemies would either be destroyed or they would become our friends. The worst mistake that any country can make is turning their backs on God and the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, here in the year 2014, we have a president who is doing just that. We have a president who lectures other countries because they don't dignify the sin of homosexuality. He lectured Russia because they didn't dignify the sin of homosexuality. He was invited to Africa. I don't remember what nation it was last year. And in a speech, in a public speech, he is chastising them for not promoting or allowing the sin of homosexuality. And most recently, his administration has threatened Uganda because they have a law that outlaws homosexuality. We're going to cut off your aid if you don't allow this. What in the world's going on here? This is stuff that God calls abominable, twisted, perverted. And our president doesn't just condone it. No, no, no. He goes way beyond that. He's promoting it and chastening other sovereign nations, or at least threatening to, who have enough sense to know that it is evil in the eyes of God. So our nation is vulnerable. You better believe we are vulnerable. We are sitting on thin ice because of the godlessness, which isn't just being tolerated, but promoted. Verse 5, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high? And the answer is no one and nothing. There is no God but God, and no one like God. Who is like unto the Lord our God? No one, nothing. And it is impossible to compare God to anything, because all comparisons fall short of the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, eternal God. God is one and one of a kind, and there is none other beside him. Notice 5 and 6 together. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? Arrogance is such a foolish thing in man. Baseless, completely. When we see ourselves from God's perspective, we realize that there isn't anything to be arrogant about at all. The Bible says that God has to lower himself in order to take note of his creation. God is so holy and exalted that it is an act of humility for him to take the time to even consider us, to even think about us. God is humble to even notice us. And multiply God's humility by infinity when he actually became one of us. And then multiply that humility by infinity twice when he died on the cross to pay for man's sins. The whole thing is mind-boggling to me. 7, he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. In other words, God makes life better. No matter what circumstances we are called to live in, life with God makes life better. He enhances it. Life with God exalts any job, any sets of circumstance, to a form of service to God. God gives purpose to any situation we may find ourselves in. The presence of Jesus in our life brings dignity to our life, to any honest work, no matter how lowly it may be. 7, he raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. When it suits his divine purpose, God can take one of his lowliest children, and without the use of references or anything else that may be important in the world, elevate that believer to a prominent place. He did that very thing with Joseph down in Egypt. Verse 9, he grants the barren woman, a home like a joyful mother of children, praise the Lord. In other words, when we give ourselves completely over to God, he will do things in and through us that we never could have imagined. And maybe they won't be physical things, but certainly they will be spiritual things. Psalm 114, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, God did for Israel what they never could have done for themselves. They went out of Egypt, and he brought them out. They'd still be slaves in Egypt today if God had not delivered them. There's no way they're getting out of that place. But it happened because God always has the best interest of his people in mind, which is also why he literally grabbed Lot and family and pulled them out of Sodom before it was destroyed. Verse 2. Judah became his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan turned back. In the Bible, God says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk therein. But there's a problem. Not with God's message to us, not with the word of God. The problem is this. Often God's people hear his voice, but they don't follow through and do what he says. Many times God's people will look at the way he has opened for them and say, I don't think I want to do it, Lord. I don't think I can do it. And that's basically what the Israelites said when God told them that they were going to walk through the Red Sea. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think I can do it. But they did it. In spite of their panic, in spite of their unbelief, they sure enough did it. Verse 4. The mountains skipped like rams, the little hills like lambs. In other words, everything that was in the way got out of the way of God's people. God made sure that his people could take the next step on their journey, and in the end, they completed their journey. God will do the same for us, Christians, if we walk with him. He will ensure that you and I can take the next step, do the next thing on the journey he has us on. And when the whole thing is over, we will have completed our journey. But he always opens up the door to make the next step. Nothing that presumes to stand in the way of us doing what God wants will be allowed to stand. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. That is what the Bible says. 5 and 6. What ails you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? O mountains, that you skipped like rams? O little hills, like lambs? God is saying that. What ails you? What's the matter, Red Sea? Why did you cut yourself in two? How'd that happen? What's the matter, Jordan River? Why did you stop flowing and, in essence, cut yourself in two also? You're both acting very strange. What's going on? How'd that happen? You're not behaving according to the laws of nature. Well, everybody reading this knows why that happened. It's because God made it happen, and he wants us to think about it. When things or people act uncharacteristically, it may be a sign that God is doing something. That was certainly the case with the Red Sea when it parted for the Israelites, and the same goes for the Jordan River when it separated. Verse 7, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. There are no tough guys. There are no big shots in the presence of God. There's only trembling. Smart-alecky, depraved sinners who scoff at the commandments, who promote what is evil and reject the Savior will one day have a rude awakening. They will stand before God and they will tremble, and more than tremble, they will quake with terror. And that's not what God wants. He takes no pleasure in that. You would much rather have them repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior before it's too late. But people are free to choose the direction they want to go, and most people go that direction, which is the wrong direction. 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. So don't think that God can't do what he says he's going to do. Don't think that you don't have a reason to tremble, you godless out there. If God can cause a river of clear water to flow out of a dry rock, as he did for the Israelites in the wilderness, then he can do anything he wants to do. He doesn't need the laws of nature to cooperate in order to accomplish something. if he needs to, he'll just change the laws of nature. Simple. You see, God does not talk big without backing it up. The Almighty never bluffs. The righteous can trust that God will bring about the good he promises, and the wicked should tremble because God will punish as he says he will. Mark it. Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy and because of your truth. In other words, spread your fame, God, not ours. Some people, some Christians, some preachers have this completely backwards. They want to use God to make a name for themselves. Christians should let God use them to make a name for him. Anyone who calls himself a Christian should work to draw people's attention to Jesus. 2. Why should the Gentiles say, "Where now is their God?" In other words, why should there be one single person anywhere in this world who doesn't know who our God is, who doesn't know who the Savior is, who doesn't know the name of the God that we worship, what he is like? Why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" Simply put, talk about God. Promote God. Promote his son, Jesus Christ. Tell people what he has done. Tell people how he has answered your prayers. Talk about the living God. Why should anyone say, "Where is their God?" We know the living God. We know the real God. And our life should reflect the fact that we believe in him. The best testimony we can give to the outside world that Jesus is real is to treat Jesus as if he is real, is to talk to him as if he is real, is to talk about him as if he is real. That's the sort of thing that the Holy Spirit uses to convince the outside world of their need for Jesus. 3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. God in his word says, "From ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" Again, God does whatsoever he has pleased. That's why Jesus said, "No one takes my life. I lay it down of my own free will." Jesus was not caught off guard on Holy Thursday evening in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's no man's victim. No, not even Judas's. Jesus died because he wanted to pay for our sins. God does whatsoever he hath pleased. And that continues to be the case today. 4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. What a contrast to the real God. People really have to enjoy playing let's pretend if they worship a God they have made themselves. And they do it all the time today. Maybe not before a stone idol or a wooden idol, but they create a God in their own image. One that likes the things that they like. They even may call that God Jesus. But he's not real. It's an idol. But can you imagine? Hey, let's make a statue and pretend it's God. Or let's formulate our own vision in our mind of what God is, and let's pretend that that's really God. And if we pretend hard enough, then we'll forget that there's a real God who we are accountable to. You see, that's the attitude that many people have. But it's all nothing but a big and dangerous game of let's pretend that they're playing until they land in the lake of fire. I don't get it. 5, they have mouths. He's talking about false gods. And this one includes stone idols, wooden idols, or the gods that people invent in their own mind. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. In other words, all the other so-called gods that people make or imagine are useless, non-existing inventions of sinful man who seek to create a God in their image, one who approves of their sin, one who approves of what they do. But if you're looking for the right words to say in some situation, don't ask a false god for help, because they can't even speak. And if you're going in for surgery, don't ask them for help. Don't ask them to guide the doctor's hands, because they can't even see. And by the way, don't even bother praying to them, because they can't walk. They can't even move. And don't ask them for advice, because they can't tell you, because they can't talk. Useless. No God is God except the God of Holy Scripture. That is it. God says in His Word, listen very carefully to what He says, I am the Lord, there is none beside me. Meaning, the many gods of the Hindus are not gods at all. Meaning, Allah is not a god. Meaning, even though the Mormons teach that if a man does certain good things, they can become a god, their many gods are not gods at all. What can God possibly add to what He has already said? How can God possibly choose any words that will make this more clear? I am the Lord. There is none beside me. The God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the one and only God, period, end of story. If one doesn't believe that, they don't believe the Bible. 8. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Anyone who makes and or trusts in gods which are nothing will be just like the gods they make. That is, a big nothing. That is, foolish and useless and destined for eternal darkness. Jesus is the one who said that a servant, or I should say a student, is not greater than their master. Consequently, certainly one cannot become greater than the God they serve, and the bar is set very low for those who worship nothing. For those who worship useless, non-existing idols. 9. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. God is a shield to those who choose to take refuge in Him. And to take refuge in God means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and live the correct way. God is a shield to people like that. But always remember that God is what we might call a gentleman too, because He doesn't force Himself on anyone. He would love to protect all people for all of eternity, but He will not protect unless He is asked. God does not crash anyone's party or crash into anyone's life. God waits to be invited. Jesus will save anyone from hell, but He waits to be invited. That's just the kind of God He is. Verse 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. That's very important to understand. God doesn't favor the rich over the poor, or the poor over the rich. He doesn't favor the young over the old, or the black over the white, or the white over the black. Things mean nothing to God. We're all the work of His hands. The things God looks for when He wants to bless are these. Are we good? Do we fear Him? And do we show it by how we live? In other words, in order to be blessed, as one man said, we must be blessable. People should determine to do what is right so that God can bless. Determine to be blessable so that He can bless. Because He wants to. 14. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. God is a big God, and He has done big things, including making the heavens and the earth. Some think that a God who is so big could never actually care about them as an individual. But people like that don't understand God. His heart is as big as his strength. His concern for what he has made, especially man, is as large as his great power. God loves to bless. 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Heaven belongs to God. The entire universe, made up of all the stars and all the galaxies and any planets that may be out there, are also ruled by God. But God has delegated the rule of the earth to mankind. That's one reason things don't operate as well here as they do in heaven. Look who's running the show in heaven compared to here. That's also why there's more happiness in heaven than there is on earth. Because you see, happiness thrives where God rules. Which is why the happiest people are Christians who submit to Christ's lordship. 17. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who get down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to be teaching the Bible from my coffin, so don't bother tuning in on Sunday mornings. None of us will be singing songs to God from our coffin either, or doing anything else for God. Whatever we're going to do for God, we got to do right now, starting today, or it's not going to get done, or we won't do anything for him.